This is an interview with Mrs. Fred Beatty at her home, 7366 West Boulevard, on February 10, 1978, at 2 p.m. by Bernice Mercer for the Youngstown State University's Oral History Program.
The same thing over here.
Right. About your parents.
My father and mother were both born in Sweden. My father was 18 years old when he came, and he came to Jamestown, New York, because he had friends, I suppose, there. There were lots of Swedish people lived around Jamestown, New York, you know. And my mother's family settled at Asheville, New York, which is near Jamestown, too. And she was 6 months old when her parents came. And she was born in the northern part of Sweden, and my father was born in around Lake Vättern in the southern part of Sweden.
In Sweden, they wouldn't have met.
No, they wouldn't have met in Sweden. Because of the difference in the differentiation in the way the places that they live,
language too.
Yes, and language too. I know that my grandfather went back to the my grandfather Johnson, my mother's father, went back to Sweden in 1912. And he sent cards at that time and told about the sun never setting and all that sort of thing, you know. And that was a great... it was a great thing in our lives, you know, to have Grandpa go back and be able to tell us all that. But we never learned much about my father's education. And my father died when he was 51. But my mother lived to be 89. So she was a widow from the time she was 46 until she was 89.
Her education was here, of course. But tell some about his education.
Well, I don't know anything about my
father's
education.
Well, but I mean, what was he able to do?
He was able to do many things that, you know, his writing was very good and his figuring was very good. So we think he must have had some background in education in Sweden, but we didn't know exactly. We don't know exactly. I suppose my mother would have known if we'd thought to ask her, but we didn't think to ask her, you know.
Well, that's the way it is. The whole point is on that. So he was able to help the children, and so was she.
Well, my father was very much interested in education, and he always said that if it weren't for the degree, he could do things that other people did, you know, on the railroad. He worked for the Erie Railroad, as I told you, and he always said that if it weren't for the infernal degree, I've heard him say that many times, that he could do what other people did. So he was very much interested that my brothers go to college, and they did. And fortunately, there was a college in Meadville. Allegheny College is in Meadville. And so my brothers went to Allegheny, and my sister went to Allegheny. Both my sisters went to Allegheny. I was the only one of the family that didn't go to Allegheny. And for some reason or other, I didn't go, but I think it's because my father had died before that. And recently before that, and when I was through high school, it was the thing to do to get into something that you could do right away, you know.
Secretarial work.
So I took the teacher's training course, and I taught shorthand and typing for a number of years in Newcastle before I came to Youngstown. And in Youngstown, I taught one class, and I got a teacher's salary. But the rest of the time I was in the office. And Mr. Eaton wanted somebody who had more than just a high school education.
Now, did they have another secretary too, or was
Yes, we had several secretaries that were under me, so to speak.
I was wondering about this, if early, like a good while ago, whether the secretary's work was just one person's entire responsibility the way it is now, or... But this was at South High.
Yes, it was at South High.
That was the first place you were...
Yes, I came to South High because of Jean Fry, and she was a teacher there, and she was dean of girls, and she came from Meadville. And so she knew my family, although I had never known Jean Fry, but she knew the other members of my family.
Oh, I see.
And my sister worked with her sister, and my and Jean Fry had taught in high school when my brothers were in high school. So she knew the family, although I had never met her until I came to Youngstown.
She wouldn't by any chance have been a science teacher, would she?
No, I don't think she was a science teacher. She taught history and that sort of thing.
She was not the secretary? Or
no,
did
she was not. She was the dean of girls.
Was there a quite a large a section of the South High that had commercial studies at that time?
Yes, I think there was, because a good many people went into, not too many people went to college, you know, from high school at that time.
But a lot went and took the commercial and got into business. So then, describe what South High was like when you first...
Well, it was a very nice building, you know, and it was...
It was new.
It was fairly new, because it had been built in 1911, but it had outgrown the original building, and so the wing to the east, I forget which way it is, south, I guess, to the south had been added. The wing to the south had been added. I'm not very good at my directions. But then I think the wing to the north was added later.
Now, the thing we're interested in about secretaries is how, in time, you became full-time secretary.
Well, I was, I always taught a class when I was at South High. And
even after
way,
you had
yes.
the full responsibility. Of
and that. I had charge of the school funds as well as the as did the secretarial work.
That was a lot.
Yes, and every day I had to go to the bank and take the cafeteria money to the bank, and I couldn't do that nowadays because people would know when I... But then I went every day at right after lunch, you know, I went to the bank.
And there was a cafeteria in South High early
on. Yes, there
was
a cafeteria in South High at that time.
That wasn't everywhere, was it? Wasn't
no,
that
I don't
something
think there was that one. That was generally a practice in those days.
Now, talk about the principle a little bit, and also the method by which you really knew almost all the kids.
Mr. Eaton was the principal, E.J. Eaton. Was the principal, and he liked to have, as I said, a secretary that had more than high school education, so that was why they came to me. And it was through a letter from him and a letter from Jean Fry that I came to Youngstown, and my brother lived here at that time, and so I came to Youngstown and was interviewed and stayed with my brother, I suppose. I can't remember that much about it, but then I came in the fall of 1923 to Youngstown and knew a good many of the students and kept track of the records of many of the students, you know, because, and I knew many people personally because they came into the office for various reasons.
You'd know all the teachers?
Yes, I knew all the teachers.
Quite well.
Mm-hmm. Because they always came into the office in the morning. And so I knew the teachers, and I was part of the teaching staff, really.
Well, yes, with that constantly having that class, at least one, and probably sometimes more. Now,
I never taught more than one class.
Just one. How did it come about that you really were able to be acquainted with almost all the kids?
Well, I don't know how it came about, but...
You'd have their records. You had to work on their records.
Yes, I had to work on their records, so I knew... we had... that was something we did in the summertime. You know, I worked 11 months of the year. and
I didn't realize. Because the teachers all left, and you had all that compiling of those records.
Yes, we had a lot of records to keep in the summertime to put on the permanent record cards.
You wouldn't remember about what the total population of South High was at that time, or just about?
I think there were, well, that was at the time that both Cheney and East were opened, you know, in 1926, I think they were opened. And so the enrollment went down considerably at that time, but before that it had been fairly high.
It required extra room. I have a lot about East, mm-hmm. the beginnings of East. But Cheney also, is that all?
Yes, they were both opened at the same time.
And both of them drew from South?
Yes, well, East drew from Wren, I think, and Cheney drew from South. People on the other side of the river went to Cheney.
Everyone that had any problems that required coming to the office, you had to deal with.
Yes, I had to deal with them. And I have one very funny story that I like to tell about Mr. Zinnier, who was one of the English teachers, and he was a very literate man. And you didn't question him about things, you know, because you got into a great deal of difficulty if you did. So one time, a colored boy came into the office, and he had been late. And he had written down on a sheet that Mr. Zinnier brought in later that he had assisted a fallen woman. And I didn't dare tell Mr. Zinnier what it meant to me, you know, because if that boy had assisted a fallen woman, why, that he had assisted somebody that had fallen down, you know. That's was the way Mr. Zinnier took it, and that's the way the boy meant it, of course. But to me, it meant something else. But I didn't say that to Mr. Zinnier because I thought that...
the pun would have been lost, perhaps.
Yes. He took things so literally that it would have been a great loss. And I would have been spent the rest of my time explaining what I meant, you know.
I don't know, I think you were more literate than me.
He was a fine man, but he was very literate, you know.
You had to... deal with all kinds of emergencies.
Yes, and many of the children came in when they were in trouble, you know, and I had to refer them to the dean and do that sort of thing.
Then who was the dean?
Mr. Jones was the dean. Herbert Jones was the dean at that time.
And before he got with this, you probably did the emergency.
Well, I never had to deal with people, definitely.
But you knew all about what the things really were.
And I remember one boy, one red-haired boy that I remember very well, Oliver Ripple. I remember him very well because he said over his shoulder, you're a hard-hearted Hannah. He said, I think it should be hard-hearted Gertie.
Now, I'm interested in the matter of the troubles, the problems that the children had.
Yes.
Their financial situation, their dress. Was clothing a problem sometimes?
Yes, it was. And I learned many of those things from Jean Fry because she was the dean of girls. And she often went into homes and found out. Or people would come to her and say, well, I can't do so-and-so because my mother doesn't understand. And so she would go to the home and find out just what happened, or why she couldn't, why the mother wouldn't understand, you know. And there are certain things that they had to do that had to be done a certain way, and the mothers couldn't understand because it hadn't been part of their experience.
Sometimes language, too?
Yes, there was a language barrier, too. And sometimes the child would have to be the interpreter because the child would understand English, but the mother wouldn't, you know.
No, these would be mostly...
Italians in those days.
Mostly Italians.
Mm-hmm.
To begin with, Italian, but then later Polish, Russian?
Yes, I think so.
After a while. How about their... did they have trouble to buy proper clothes?
I don't remember whether they had trouble buying proper clothes, but I can't remember the children that Jean Fry talked about particularly. And I don't remember whether I can remember the people who dressed well, you know, and came to school and well-dressed. And there were many American families who did, even that, early as that, who brought their children up to high standards, you know. They had high standards of dress and so forth.
Did that create problems, social problems, because?
I don't remember. I don't think that it did. But maybe it did. You know, maybe I can remember that you wouldn't go out with a boy that had a name that was different.
This was just inherent in the situation. But there was a sort of a barrier between the Italian.
Yes, I think so.
Do you think it was both ways? Do you think that the Italian people felt the same way about it?
I
like
don't
to
know
keep to themselves?
Whether they did or not. Whether they were trying, in the time that I grew up, you know, we were trying very much, very hard to be Americans. Even though your parents had come from another country, you were trying very hard to be American. And many people changed their names to American names at that time. But nowadays, they don't do that so much.
The attitudes have changed.
Yes.
Yeah.
She had trouble at graduation time because all the girls had to wear white dresses, you know, and they couldn't understand, parents couldn't understand why the white dress or why, you know, and maybe it was a hardship to get even a white dress. And maybe it wouldn't be something that you could wear again, you know.
Everybody was in white.
Everybody had to wear white at graduation. That was before the days of caps and gowns, you know. Now you can put anything under a cap and gown. It doesn't make any difference what you have on.
Right. Did the boys have was there a special dress for the boys, too?
I don't remember anything about the boys. I think
Jean Fry was concerned with the girls.
Yeah. I think the boys wore suits, mainly, and ties and collars in those days, I suppose. I don't remember much about it.
Was there a good deal of absences?
No, there were not very many absences in those days, except for the children who didn't want to come to school, and there were always a few of those, you know. They were made to come to school because and maybe they didn't want to come.
This was true even then?
Yes, even then.
Did they have, did the school supply books?
Yes, the school supplied books. And we had a supply store where you could buy things at a less price than you could buy someplace else, at a lower price than you could
buy.
But
you didn't have to buy books.
No, you didn't have to buy books. And that was one of the big things that we had to do too, was to keep track of the books, you know.
That side of school, that would be a large job.
Yeah, a big job.
That part of that would be done during the summer too.
Yes, that was done during the summer too.
Now, there was a cafeteria and they had cooks right
Miss,
there?
Van Fossen, who was a home ec teacher, had charge of the cafeteria. But they had regular cooks that cooked the meals and cooked the food and so forth. And so she was in charge of the cafeteria, and she saw that the food was prepared and bought ahead and so forth. You know, she was in charge of it. But I can't remember anything about it beyond that.
It seemed you loved, did most of the teachers eat there?
Yes, most of the teachers ate there, as far as I knew.
Did you feel that the lunch was very good, nourishing?
I thought it was a good lunch. I always...
You don't remember the name of any of the cooks?
Well, I remember Maggie was one cook. Maggie, we called her. But I don't remember what her last name was.
She also had something to do with serving this lunch, too.
Yes, she was sometimes came...
The whole thing, sort of in charge of it. Then, too, we mentioned earlier the role of a custodian.
Yes.
The janitor. You don't happen to remember, did they have the same janitor for a long time?
Yes. Mr. Kroll was a janitor for a long time at South High. And he was a tall, thin man. I don't know that makes any difference, but...
Well, you remember how he seemed. Did he really had quite a little contact with the children?
Well, I don't think he had so much contact with the children, but as he had with the people in the office, we would send him if there was a breakdown of any kind, you know, in the rooms or and lots of times there were people that had difficulties in the rooms, and the teacher would send for somebody from the office. And very often I was the one to go. And I remember one particular girl that had fits. And we used to stretch her out and send the rest of the class out, you know, someplace, and stretch her out on the floor. I can remember her name was Dorothea, but I can't remember her last name.
Did this tend to, I mean, was it this way the entire time she was in school?
Yes,
she
think
didn't
it
improve
was.
At all.
No, and I think that now things would have been different because they give all kinds of medication to people like that.
She probably would have had it so that she wouldn't have had this problem. Did the teacher wouldn't be frightened? She knew what.
She knew what to do.
But this could happen in any class.
Yes, it could happen in any class that Dorothea went to. I remember it particularly in a Latin class that she attended. And the teacher was an older teacher there, and she knew what to do. And she would send the children out someplace or the other people in the class, and maybe she'd go with them. I don't remember. And I would take care of Dorothea.
It was just a matter of waiting for this teacher.
Yeah, waiting until that phase was over.
Then she would be pretty much herself?
Yes, she would, we would send her home usually because maybe she would be depressed for the rest of the day or something of that sort, you know. She'd not feel like herself the rest of the day.
Dallas, but she probably didn't feel, well, I wonder if she was made to feel terribly upset by this, maybe not.
I don't know.
The attitude of the teacher would have a lot.
Yeah, the attitude of the teacher would make a great difference. But you know, children of that age can be very cruel.
Oh yes, that's what I was thinking about.
I don't know whether they were hard on Dorothea because of that or not. Whether she ever had any boyfriends. She apparently married later in life, but I don't know. I never know what became of her.
It's hard to tell whether people were always cruel or whether there is a difference.
Well, I think they were always cruel as far as that's concerned. Children were as they grew up, you know. I can remember incidents from my own childhood that when people would make fun of you for one thing or another, you know. I remember walking to school one time in front of some girls, and this other girl said, and my sister and I were walking on ahead, and this girl said, their father works with Italians. That was supposed to be a put-down for us, but it wasn't.
You didn't take it that way?
No, we didn't take it that way, but I suppose we felt badly.
They wanted, whether you felt badly or not, they would have liked to.
Yeah, that's right.
On their part, it was a cruel thing.
It was cruel.
They might have envied you for some reason.
Well, maybe they did. I don't know.
Sorry to tell. But that is a good point. Now, you came here in the 20s. Do you happen to remember, and speaking about the Italian children in the high school, do you happen to remember anything about the Ku Klux Klan era?
Well, I do remember something about that because Mr. Stilson and Dr. Evans were both embroiled in that. And I remember that, I don't remember ever building any, or they're building any crosses, but I remember one time coming out to what they call now, or used to call, Dead Man's Corner at Market Street and, Midlothian.
That was their farm, wasn't it?
Well, that was, there was a place out there where the Ku Klux Klan gathered one time, and there were no buildings there at that time.
They had a picnic ground and
maybe
things like that. It belonged to the Klan. Did it affect the high school students that you knew about?
I never knew that it did. Maybe it did inadvertently, sometimes things like that you weren't aware of. And I suppose I was more aware of myself at that period than I was at any other time.
Because you had Did you have the feeling, was it connected with the Ku Klux Klan? What was their main opposition that they were opposed to?
I don't know exactly. I never got embroiled in the Ku Klux Klan because none of my family were embroiled in it.
It just didn't affect you that much at all.
No, it didn't affect me.
But you didn't know these people.
I knew the people that were part of it and knew about them, and even though they were on the Board of Education, some of them were on the Board of Education, and still they did things with the Klan.
Did you know anything about the churches having any part in it?
I didn't know that the church.
In some places, the churches did.
That the church had any part in it.
In some places,
community.
They had a great deal. But now you were in church here in Youngstown, and your church took no part.
No, as far as I knew, it didn't take any part. I remember saying to Mr. Eaton one time when I came to be interviewed for the job, I said, "Do you want me to watch Miss Van Curen?" She was the secretary just before I was. And he said, "No, this is your job, and you do it the way you see fit." And I thought that was a very good piece of advice.
For all you knew, maybe he wanted you to do things a little.
Well, maybe so. They said, I found out afterwards that Miss Van Curen had been a person that was very hard to get along with. And, so he wanted no part of that. Maybe she had higher standards than he did or something like that, you know.
Do you remember things that were taught besides, now you understood what was going on in the commercial thing. Did the, now talk about Mr. Beatty. When did he come?
He had was you already been, there when
was,
I came.
Before you got there? And he taught mathematics.
He taught mechanical drawing at that time. And then later he taught mathematics, I think. But at the time that I came, he was teaching mechanical drawing. and he was the only mechanical drawing teacher, but they had one after that that taught some mechanical drawing, and I think that was when Fred went into the mathematics department and later became assistant principal.
That's unused to the tape about that. Mm-hmm. And then there was a lot of science taught, quite a little science.
Yes, we had a good science department. I think we had biology and physics and chemistry. And the people that were in that department were very, very helpful people.
Their classes were popular.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. People took them along. Now, English, of course, they had all
through.
Yes,
there was all kinds of English taught. Mr. Zinninger was the head of the English department. I think I mentioned him before. He was a man that was so literal-minded that he couldn't take a joke, you know, or couldn't see a joke.
He was in the wrong occupation.
But there were many people that I knew that were in the English department. Eloise Young, who is a retired teacher now, and Ethel Milligan, and was one of the teachers of English. And Mr. Johnson, Herbert Johnson, was a teacher of English. And he was well-known and well-liked.
There was a good deal of requirement of writing and composition?
Yes, there was a lot of composition work at that time.
Besides literature and...
And grammar and that sort of thing was demanded. You know, you had to be able to do certain things before you couldn't.
Would you say that there was anybody coming out of high school at this time that we're talking about that really couldn't read or write?
I think that people who came out of high school at that time were well educated. And they didn't always go on to college, but if they had the ability, they found jobs in other ways.
When they had the diploma at this time in the 20s, those diplomas really meant something.
Yes, that's right.
And you say people didn't drop out very much.
No, not that I knew of.
There were some that had low grades.
Maybe they dropped out before they got to high school, but I didn't know not too many of them dropped out after they came to high school.
There weren't any great number that had consistently low grades, so much.
There were a few, but I didn't have much to do with them because they didn't go on to college, you know. And I wrote all the recommendations for, or the, transfers for college. I had to do all that sort of thing.
Oh my, that was a hefty, I thought there were a lot of things that we weren't thinking about there. Now, did they have to take tests to get into college then like they do now?
No, they didn't. If you had a transcript of credits, that was all.
They looked at your credits and that was it. They didn't have college entrance.
No, college entrance exams are fairly new, I think.
That's an interesting part. You wouldn't, it was completely after the time that you were there. For all the time that you were there, you had no college entrance exams to contend with.
Yes.
People could go directly from
now,
this matter of getting those transcripts, there would be about how many in the graduating class every year then?
I don't remember exactly.
There would
how
be
many.
Maybe 100.
Maybe 100.
Mm-hmm. Around there.
Yes, and sometimes we had as many as 500 graduating, you know.
Oh my, see, that was a big job to do all of those.
But most of them went to the Ohio colleges. I sent transcript of credits to most of the colleges in Ohio. Many of them went to Oberlin, and some went to many people who are teachers who have taught in the Youngstown schools went to the Oberlin classes for kindergarten teachers. They had a class for kindergarten teachers at that time at Oberlin.
Oberlin tended to be pioneering, started things.
Yeah.
Began the first
started
ones.
Things.
And the kindergarten teachers went to Oberlin.
I know that at least one person who teaches now, or who is retired now, who went to Oberlin Kindergarten School, and they had a music course that was very good at Oberlin, too. And at least one of the girls was out.
Now, there was what's the school, the Presbyterian School at Worcester?
Yes.
People go there?
People went to Worcester and went to the place that, I can't remember, Ohio Wesleyan, many of them went to Ohio Wesleyan, and many went to, the place that, I can't remember the name of it now.
Was Kent much of a college at this point?
Yes, it was.
It was started already?
It was started already.
Was it a state school yet?
No, I think it was a normal school. But I think that maybe it was a state normal school.
But they tended to go to Kent rather than to into Pennsylvania. People
yes.
didn't go to Pennsylvania.
No, people didn't go to Pennsylvania unless they... in fact, I was the only person from Pennsylvania that came to Ohio, you know, afterwards.
And that school was not Newcastle?
No, the school was at Indiana, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yes.
The school I went to.
That was quite a ways away, isn't it?
That was quite a ways from Meadville. I had to come to Youngstown and then go to Pittsburgh and then go to Indiana from Pittsburgh.
Well, that's awesome.
But the reason I did that was because they were opening the course in commercial subjects at that time, and woman who lived across the street from us thought that that was a good field to get into, and I had taken some commercial work in high school, and so she thought that that was a good chance for me to get into the teaching field and not have to spend as many years as you did if you went to college, you know.
So then
we were aware of everything that went on.
You had to handle there was money coming in from the
yes.
athletics, and you had to manage all that.
Yes, I had to take care of all the money that came in from athletics, and I remember that we had some big games in that time, and sometimes the money would have to be put into the bank after the game, you know.
They had football.
They had football and basketball and
baseball.
Track.
Baseball.
I don't think we had baseball.
That was a summertime. But then, besides that, there were concerts?
Yes, there were concerts and dramatics.
And those both involved money that you had to collect?
Yes, I had to take care of the money after they... I don't think I had to do anything with the money until it was in a lump sum and it was transferred to me.
But it was all part of your...
Yes.
Part of your responsibility.
I had to take responsibility for.
Were all those things well attended?
Yes, they were very well attended nowadays. The students attended them, and then their parents attended too.
It was really a whole neighborhood thing.
Yes.
All of them, plays and everything.
Yes, and there were not as many things going on in those days, you know.
Outside of the school.
Outside of the school. So the school was sort of the focal point for many things.
You're talking about the attitude that the board had in this period
Not
of time.
Not only the board, but the superintendent sometimes had this attitude.
About a degree person.
Yeah. A person that had a good degree could go on and on, you know, but a person that didn't have a degree was not considered for many jobs.
Well, moreover, when the job had been achieved, work that had been done, didn't always get credit.
That's right, too.
That it should have had, compared to the person with the degree.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that that's the thing that bothered my husband, that he felt that he could do all these things. And I think that's the thing that bothered my father, too, that he knew that he could give advice. But he couldn't do them because he didn't have the degree. And Fred had a BS degree, but and he had taken courses beyond high school or beyond college, but he didn't particularly want to get a degree in education.
All the education courses that early on.
Yeah.
That's a hot issue ever since, I guess.
Yes.
He took the things that he needed.
Yes, he took the things that he wanted to take rather than the things that were prescribed in a master's degree.
So this was an early. I know that he didn't get it on the tape.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get it on. It also, he told about a counselor that worked for him.
Yes, that Judy DeGennaro, that went to California, and because he had had some work with Fred in the field of counseling, why he was able to get credit from a university in California. Along this line,
but
because of the work he had done.
Now, it was Mr. Beatty directly.
Yes.
Not.
No, it wasn't from the powers that be.
That was the entire thing. The Board of Education, who he had worked for.
Yes.
Refused to give him credit.
Yeah, that's right.
But directly from Mr. Beatty, who was his principal. Now, I remember about at Hillman Junior High when it was new, your husband was principal, and we want to have a descriptionist as well as we can. I'm sure you will remember those. You went to those wonderful concerts, general, not just concerts, but wonderful family nights in that auditorium. Would you mind remembering some of those things? Those auditoriums would be packed. And do you remember the things that they used to have?
I remember something about them, but I don't think I remember enough about them to, my memory isn't as good as it used to be, you know.
Well, I know, but would you say they'd have plays?
I don't remember whether they had plays or whether they had more concerts.
A lot of singing, the band.
A lot of things that involved a lot of people.
Not just the musicians.
No, not just the musicians.
The musicians would be the part of the band.
Yes.
Wouldn't they have acrobatics?
I can't remember exactly.
Maybe I ought to put this into it because I remember pretty well. Everybody in school.
I remember that everybody took part, but
would
I can't remember.
Do something. It seemed like it was the most terrific evening.
Yes, they tried to get as many people involved in it as possible.
I remember even the boxers would come out as part of the music. It would be a part of the show.
Yes. I can't remember that particularly. Maybe I wasn't there at the time that you recall particularly.
The concept of having everybody in school involved in that wonderful thing. Everybody came too.
Yes, I remember that they were well attended.
And the school was, at that time, the show place.
Yes, it was a very...
It was the nicest school.
It was the newest school that had been built.
And it had been built so well.
Yes, it was well built.
To just do the very top thing for everybody.